This is Jordan Seculo in Washington, D.C. Why raising your voice and signing those petitions for Pastor Saeed matters. The incoming Secretary of State indicates he's going to be doing a lot more than the previous Secretary of State for this pastor who's been sentenced to 8 years in what's been called hell on earth, this prison in Iran. We'll talk about it today on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Saeed Abedini was born in Iran but now lives in Idaho. He's been locked up in Iran's notorious Evin prison since September. His alleged crime, evangelizing. The married father of two denies the claim. Judge Pir Abbasi, known as Iran's hanging judge, sentenced Abedini to 8 years behind bars.
8 years is kind of a number they throw out. If you're barely making it after 4 months, 8 years without seeing your kids, 8 years without seeing your wife. This sentence today is outrageous.
Jordan Seculo, executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice. On Friday, a White House spokesman condemned Iran's continued violation of the universal right of freedom of religion and called for Abedini's release. Karen McHugh, Fox News Radio.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The more publicity that can be brought to this, the more pressure that can be applied, the better. Frankly, in dealing with dissidents, and I would call this man a dissident now, around the world, the more attention that can be paid when the President of the United States raises someone's cases, it just makes it much less likely that that dissident can disappear permanently into a prison or into a gallows.
When a dissident is imprisoned in China, as Mr. Chen has been, when a woman is persecuted in the Middle East, when a pastor is jailed in Iran, the United States cannot and must not be a passive observer.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Folks, welcome to Jay Seculo Live. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Continuing to raise the voices, the chorus calling for Pastor Saeed's release after being sentenced to 8 years in what has been described, and there's a lot of media coverage now about Evin prison on television. You can read about it online. We've been posting it to ACLJ.org. Hell on earth. Hell on earth. Cannot make phone calls, cannot communicate with his wife here in the United States. Our client, Naghma Abedini, has been on the broadcast. She was on yesterday and has been on so many of those interviews with me talking about this very difficult situation for her family and, of course, her two kids. She's got a 6-year-old daughter, 4-year-old son who haven't seen their dad since June. And he was on his way home in July and got arrested by the Revolutionary Guard. And they haven't been able to hear his voice in, I think over a month and a half now. And the kids, of course, can't comprehend, but she knows as long as he's in this ward and not allowed to make phone calls, and this would be 8 years, they'd be teenagers the next time they heard their American father's voice. And you've got movement in Congress. We're going to have Congressman John Fleming coming up in the next segment of the broadcast. Congressman Fleming from Louisiana. He was one of the 37 members of Congress who signed on to that letter to Secretary of State Clinton when we needed it the most to get some action going. Now, Secretary Clinton did not make the remarks, and I don't expect her to do so in the next 48 hours because John Kerry's coming in. He gets sworn in Friday. He's going to become his first day on the job is Monday as Secretary of State. Now, I don't agree with John Kerry on everything or much of all, probably. But when it comes to this issue, he's a pretty middle of the road. He was a presidential candidate and got a lot of support. So to be a pick by the Obama administration, I think, compared to Hagel and Brennan and these others, which we'll talk about, folks, not surprising, and that's why I think he got so much support. He answered a question to Senator Rubio about this, and he said he condemned Iran and called on him to release Pastor Saeed. Now, we're going to make sure, and people like Congressman Fleming, who's coming up next, and you, because we need you to raise your voices, that when he's become Secretary of State Monday, he echoes the same remarks. That's a strong statement. But we've got more from Congress as well. Congressman Senator Lindsey Graham sent a letter just moments ago to President Obama saying, this is all great, but we need to hear from you. He's an American citizen. We'll talk about that letter, too, coming up from Senator Lindsey Graham. If you want to stand up for Pastor Saeed, we've taken it international. Demand that the UN get involved, the EU, other international institutions. We need you folks. Call 877-989-2255. We need you to help this pastor, his family, speaking out and asking for your support. All they need is your name, your voice, 877-989-2255. Will you call that number for us? That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org. Sign this brand new petition online.
The worst case scenario has occurred. Iran has convicted and sentenced American pastor Saeed Abedini to 8 years in prison simply because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed, a U.S. citizen, is facing many years of life-threatening torture and abuse in one of Iran's most dangerous and deadly prisons. Iran's actions violate its own constitution and violate multiple human rights treaties and laws. The ACLJ represents Pastor Saeed's wife and children who live in the U.S., and the ACLJ is moving aggressively, working to secure Pastor Saeed's freedom. The focus now turns global, urging the United Nations and the European Union to mobilize their resources. With his conviction and sentence, it's critical that the world unite and stand up to speak out against this mockery of justice and demand that Iran free Pastor Saeed. Sign on to our petition to save Pastor Saeed from Iranian prison. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Folks, that's an important message to send to Pastor Saeed, his family. And I will tell you, you know, Nagme, who is very brave to do all those interviews, talking to her about her husband being sentenced to 8 years in a prison. I'm calling it a death sentence. And she knows that she really does believe, you know, that's her job to have that ability. Remember, most people, it does help, of course, she's a U.S. citizen. But she's an Iranian. I mean, she knows she came from Iran, her family, that most of those people that are in that situation don't have this ability. They don't have the opportunity to tell their story in a place where they don't have to worry about being injured or hurt or facing more retribution after they walk out of the television studio. And so the fact that she's got that opportunity to tell his story, and folks, that's why we did it for 6 weeks, is so when something like this happened, you weren't just caught off guard about this pastor. You knew the pastor. You knew his family. And you knew the story and what he was facing. You knew about the hanging judge. You knew about the Revolutionary Court. Well, now he's been sentenced to 8 years. And Fox News has got great coverage up about what this prison's like. You know, we said it's like a death sentence every day, is what Nagme said. And, folks, this is not something you just say because you're the lawyers, the representatives, and you're trying to get people motivated. This is the truth. And we didn't want to have to talk about this one because by the time we're talking about it, and we knew in December, that was a sign that they were not going to settle this quietly, that it was going to take the outcry from the world. But we do know from people who have gotten out, Americans who have gotten out, that the only way you get out is when your government talks to other governments, and Iran knows that everybody's watching them. Nagme has said that the more the media covers it, the less he gets beaten, the less he gets tortured. The more you raise your voice, the more important it is. So every time, even if he's not out today, even if it's not out next week, that we're doing a story on it, that it's getting coverage. And it is still every single day there's new information. Every time that happens, it's a less likelihood that they're going to beat him to the point where he could be killed. I mean, honestly, they'll still beat him, but they won't beat him as badly. They'll take better care of him after they beat him. That is the reality. And that's what Nagme says, what the attorney said there. That is what his attorney's so nervous about his medical condition. So, folks, I need you to stand up now. We're taking this global, and there was a great development yesterday. I mean, great in the sense that We've been fighting a long time, but this is a new Secretary of State coming in, so he wasn't being called on this and was not getting asked these questions. Senator Kerry answered a question from Senator Marco Rubio. After his hearing, Senator Rubio submitted the question to him directly about Pastor Saeed. He said, you know, the State Department says this, the spokesperson, will you do it directly? And he responded just an hour before the Senate confirmed him in that vote, which I think was it 94 to 3. So most got a lot of support, you know, bipartisan support. Probably one of the least controversial nominees the entire Obama administration, honestly, because he's a well-known entity to the American people. You may not agree with him on everything, but pretty mainstream, at least in the Democrat Party, certainly. He said this: the U.S. government remains concerned about U.S. citizen Saeed Abedini, who is detained in Iran on a charge related to his religious beliefs. Mr. Abedini's attorney had only one day on January 21st, 2013 to present his defense. We remain deeply concerned about the fairness and transparency of Mr. Abedini's trial. I, along with the U.S. government, that is the kind of statement I need him to make Monday when it's his first day on the job and it's official that he's Secretary of State. I, along with the U.S. government, condemn Iran's continued violation of the universal rights of freedom of religion and call on the Iranian authorities to respect Mr. Abedini's human rights and release him. Folks, Hillary Clinton never said it. Maybe she'll say it today. I don't know. I'm not putting a lot of faith in that. And honestly, I'm not going to spend a lot more time. I told you that because people like Senator Rubio can ask him the question directly, put the pressure on. And I think Senator Rubio will follow up with him next week if he isn't willing to make that statement when the press can report Secretary of State, not incoming or confirmed but not yet sworn in. Folks, I need you to stand with us. That's why we get this action. Close to 300,000 people on the first petition. Now we're taking it global. I did an interview with BBC News yesterday, kind of out of the blue. Wasn't on the calendar. Got the call. First, it was going to be only in Farsi. Now, that's interesting. It's going to be broadcast into Iran about this. But then it's going to be global. So we'll send that around to you on all of the BBC around the world. That's everybody in the English-speaking world and in Iran, in the Farsi-speaking world, will see and hear about this case from a perspective that is not conservative, certainly, and it's just the facts. It's the information about this pastor facing this horrible sentence. I'm going to ask you this. You may have signed that first petition. You're saying, Jordan, why do I need to sign this one? Well, this is going to the United Nations, the European Union, and we've got the next step is to get the global pressure. We're getting that American pressure. Members of Congress speaking out. I've got to ask you, will you let the UN know, the European Union, the Council of Europe, that America wants them speaking out? We need to ask them. This is our citizen. Remember, folks, we're not too good to ask for help when we need it. And we need it here. Okay? It can't just be the Secretary of State or the President. We need the European Union. We need the United Nations to speak out more. This is one of those situations. I know you may not like the UN. But in the different voices coming from different parts of the world and different institutions with different political beliefs, I don't have too much pride, neither does Pastor Saeed or his family, to ask for help when we need it. Will you do the same thing? Call now, toll-free number, brand-new petition, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Congressman John Fleming, folks, it's been a great friend of ours on so many issues. He's joining us now to talk about this issue. Like you just said, they can't go out and they're not going to call for a public meeting with the Ayatollah. But we've got plenty of friends. You voted, you know, the sanctions issues like that. And there are waivers in there with some of our allies, people that would probably definitely be willing to pick up the phone if they knew it was the right thing to do. You know, they've got to hear from the U.S. government that they're not going to be causing a trouble by helping him get out.
Well, the world looks to the United States and specifically the President of the United States for leadership on these issues. So if our president is not going to be engaged in protecting the rights of an American citizen in Iran, a Christian, well, then why should the rest of the world be engaged? That's the way the world views things. We have a president that gets all out of sorts when a terrorist doesn't get absolutely every constitutional right, it seems, possible. And yet, when you have an American citizen that's in a terrorist country, he's hardly mentioned, and certainly very little pressure, if any. In this case, virtually none. Pressure has been applied to Iran. And Iran, even though we don't have diplomatic relations, Iran is subject to sanctions, as you know, and we can always change that. Their view on the world stage, what the rest of the world thinks of Iran, is very important to them. So there are many different pressure points we can apply in this debate. And again, I just have to ask, where is the presidential leadership to stand up for one of our own citizens in a foreign nation?
You know, folks, Congressman Fleming brought up some interesting points. We're going to talk to him more in an extended interview coming up in the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. And he's actually going to be joining us tomorrow to talk about this gun hearing that's going on and the mental health issue. And he's a medical doctor. So listen to the second half hour today, because I think what he just said answers a lot of questions you may have. You know, what can we actually do? Can the U.S. government do anything? And there are limitations. And that's why we've got this brand new petition, because we have to ask for help. You know, we don't have too much pride as Americans to ask for help to help bring one of our own home. But I think we have to do everything we can first. And we haven't gotten to that point yet, unfortunately. So that's why we need you to continue to speak out. If you sign the first petition, we thank you. That's why we got that media coverage, folks. You are part of that reason. And you can know that. And I'm being 100% honest with you. If we didn't have 200,000 people or 50,000 people in a day and 100,000 people in a few days, and then 200,000, now close to 300,000. If I didn't have that, it'd be much tougher to get the attention of members of Congress, much tougher to get the attention of the media. You showed you cared. You continue to show you care. Will you sign this new petition for us? 877-989-2255. Let me take a phone call. Donald in New York on line two. Donald, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
How you doing, Jay? Now, we signed petitions for the F-16s to go to the Muslim Brotherhood, and
But Donald, have you noticed the criticism level? They haven't. They delivered four. They're not ready and operational yet, and they're about to have a regime change there. Well, I mean, it's a mess. And the media started talking about it. Do you know I did the first interview on Fox News? It was me and a former CIA guy talking about this. Me. Now, it's not my specialty, to say the least, but it's because we raised our voice, Donald, and now we've got everybody talking about it. And can I stop everything the president wants to do? No, but at least we've got people to know what this president is doing, and they haven't completed the deal. I mean, do you get what I'm saying? If you say nothing, and if you say, well, I don't think it'll work this time, Yousef Nader Khani is free. We spoke out. That did not look like something that we could necessarily do just by speaking out as Americans for an Iranian pastor. He's free with his family today. I mean, if that's what you're wondering, Donald, I think those are the examples. Just getting people to talking about it and sharing the issue, you never know. And so I want to make that clear. I didn't mean to cut you off, Donald. If you want to hang on, I'll take you on the flip side. But if that answered your question for you, we'll talk to you in the break. Folks, we need you to stand for Pastor Saeed. I think I just explained it right there. All these issues we're taking a lead on because you have to. That is your duty. It's a duty as a Christian. It's a duty as an American. If you have an opportunity to share your voice, you do. Call 877-989-2255. You speak out for what's right and for justice. 877-989-2255.
The release of Pastor Yousef Nader Khani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Yousef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Yousef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Yousef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The worst-case scenario has occurred. Iran has convicted and sentenced American pastor Saeed Abedini to 8 years in prison simply because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed, a U.S. citizen, is facing many years of life-threatening torture and abuse in one of Iran's most dangerous and deadly prisons. Iran's actions violate its own constitution and violate multiple human rights treaties and laws. The ACLJ represents Pastor Saeed's wife and children who live in the U.S., and the ACLJ is moving aggressively, working to secure Pastor Saeed's freedom. The focus now turns global, urging the United Nations and the European Union to mobilize their resources. With this conviction and sentence, it's critical that the world unite and stand up to speak out against this mockery of justice and demand that Iran free Pastor Saeed. Sign on to our petition to save Pastor Saeed from Iranian prison. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
It up.
Folks, we keep fighting for Pastor Saeed Abedini. It's because of you this became a story. It's because of you that his wife has been able to share his story so many times. And now when you turn on the TV, it's very rare to see it go a day go by where we're not talking. Someone's not talking about Pastor Saeed Abedini. And that's a great thing. And it's the story is going international. An interview I did with BBC is airing today. It's airing all over the English-speaking world and in Farsi. Being broadcast via satellite from BBC News, it's not a partisan issue. Yeah, they know it's a fair issue that this is persecution, this is torture, this is a violation of basic human rights, and that Iran is violating their international agreements. Let me go to the first Donald in New York, who I kind of had to cut off there because we were running out of time in that segment. And I said if he hang on, he could ask his question, get to it. And Donald, thanks for holding on, and what's your question for us?
Could we take a contribution from every church in America and try to buy this guy's way out of the...
Now, it's interesting, Donald, because I had the guys follow up with you, and Congressman Fleming is going to be on the extended part of his interview next. And so if you got the second 30 minutes, or you can listen online, I do it, or listen later today. We post it to ACLJ.org. It's free. But he talks about the sanctions issue. You know, we write those tough sanctions, which impacts businesses around the world. And David, David French, a senior counsel with ACLJ in the studio, when you look at the way the sanctions operate and some of the waivers that we offer to some of our allies so that their economy is not, if they're a teetering economy or an emerging economy and they had to cut off all business with Iran immediately, it would probably put them in a state of disarray, so we give them some waivers. That's the kind of thing that we're talking about here. It's not, Donald, exactly what you said. I don't want to say, we're not going to be able to buy his freedom. But the U.S. government has got economic pressure on Iran, David. So it in a sense, it's that kind of thing. You get your allies to say, listen, we've done this for you. You need to make a phone call. And that can all be done privately.
Well, and it's not just the American economic pressure. One of the important reasons why we are trying to reach out to the international community is that Iran is desperate right now not to be isolated internationally. It is desperate that the sanctions it's already under, which are really hurting its economy, aren't increased or that they're eased in some way. And so Iran has a real vested interest right now in reaching out to other countries aside from the U.S., and that's why we're trying to bring Pastor Saeed's case to these other countries that have an enormous amount of economic leverage on Iran, and that's how you begin to make some real progress.
Absolutely, and folks, that is why we need you to take a stand. Our new petition going directly to the European Union, the United Nations. We need that support, the Council of Europe. We're not too good to ask for help when we need it as Americans. I wish our government did the same, and I think there is a change coming in with what will be Secretary of State John Kerry. And I'm really hoping these comments he made, the statement he made to Senator Rubio, that he'll, of course, honor that statement, which is not a difficult thing to do. And make sure that those phone calls are made and that pressure is put on. So that's what we can do, Donald. Let me go to Than Bennett, because there's some breaking news on this as well. There always is for Pastor Saeed, folks, and that's very important. As I said earlier, and as we pointed out, his lawyer said it, Iranian experts know about it, and the prisons, the courts, the more your name is in the news, and they're following the news very carefully all day, even here at home. They don't have to be on the international news. They'll see it on Fox. They have already. Trust me. He's less likely at least to be beaten to death. They're a little more nervous about how far the beatings will go. And so today we've got a new letter, Than, from a U.S. senator to the president. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, you talk about this new opportunity for the State Department, Jordan, to sort of hit the reset button under John Kerry, who, by the way, that overwhelming vote for confirmation, he's going to have a lot of influence in this administration. But the bottom line is, Jordan, he's still going to answer to the president of the United States. You heard John Fleming talk about that in his interview with you. It's something that Senator Lindsey Graham has also engaged in. Just moments before we came on air, I got a copy of a letter that Senator Graham just sent to the president calling for the president's personal engagement. This is a very respectful letter. He thanks the White House and the State Department for their spokesman's statements. But listen to these couple of lines that are in this letter from Senator Graham to President Obama. He says, "I believe the case of Pastor Abedini deserves your full attention and engagement. To this end, it is imperative that you personally add your voice to those calling for Pastor Abedini's immediate and unconditional release. There is no better symbol of American values, specifically freedom of religion, or demonstration of loyalty to the welfare of our citizens abroad than vocal and sustained support directly from the President of the United States. So, Jordan, we're very hopeful that the State Department's going to chart a new course on this. We are going to trust but verify. We're going to make sure that the actions back up the words of the new incoming Secretary of State. But what a great piece of news that Senator Graham is pressing the President of the United States to personally engage. And by the way, he could tell Secretary Kerry directly, you must engage, you must elevate this at the State Department. I'm hopeful that'll be the outcome.
And folks, it takes that. It takes a Senator Graham who decided, you know, I'm going to go directly to the President of the United States and say, you need to do this. And he closes his letter with this. He said, I believe that anything less than your personal attention, this is to President Obama, for Pastor Saeed, will only guarantee that the injustice committed by the ruling mullahs against Pastor Abedini prevails, the separation from his loving family endures, and his good works remain in abeyance while in prison. Remember, he was there setting up a non-sectarian orphanage, and Senator Graham talks about that there. You heard it first here, by the way. This letter being delivered as we're talking about it, January 30th, 2013. And I think, you know, Senator Graham is right. And it has to come from people like him. It really does. And that's why you put the petitions together. That's why you speak about it. You've got to tell people. That's our job. We represent the family here. We get it to the senators. We get it to the members of Congress. And then they take it from there. And sometimes, you know, they'll go further. And I think that's great. It's great news. I hope we can talk to it about it with Senator Graham soon. He's been very busy, as you can imagine, but a leading voice on so many of these issues with the administration the past couple of weeks, you know, talking about, we didn't even get to it yet, but our CIA nominee to be the CIA director, I mean, wouldn't say that Hezbollah was a terrorist group. Oh, we can't, you know, everything good and evil. I mean, there's so much to talk about, you know, with Brennan and Hagel, and Senator Graham's been leading that charge, and then you come up with one of these issues, and he just cuts it all out and just goes right to the President of the United States and said, this is your job. This is your duty. It's an American citizen. Let's take another phone call. Bill in Wyoming on line one. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, sir. I just finished signing your petition, but I hope this question isn't too controversial, but isn't this a form of torture, the way they're treating him and in regards to his family, letting them see each other for such a short time, then all of a sudden cutting this off?
You know, let me ask Bill quickly. I mean, and I'll go to David French for this as well. He does a lot of the larvae conflict. But the truth is, he was already being tortured. You don't have to take it to that level. Being beaten and being held without charge, without notice of your crime, without a lawyer that you're able to talk to. He did not meet his lawyer, and his lawyer did not meet him until the Davis trial, about an hour before. His lawyer didn't get access to his file until a week before, exactly 1 week. He found out that there was even a trial when he got access to that file. And David, so we talk about torture, we talk about the basic human rights. It's been so violated, but Bill, what's actually happening is that this is torture for the family. You know, here. This is torturing U.S. citizens who are not abroad. It's torturing a U.S. family, a wife and two kids here who will not hear their dad's voice or their husband's voice. And we'll talk about this week coming up. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. We've got another 30 minutes of Jay Sekulow Live coming up. You can listen on ACLJ.org if you don't get it on Sirius XM. Call now. Take a stand. It is torture. It's torturing the family here. We need you. We're taking it global. 877-989-2255. It's a toll-free number. We've got senators going to the president, congressmen speaking out, the incoming Secretary of State condemning, ready to do more. This is when we need you to take another step for us. Call now. 877-989-2255. We're not too good to ask for help for an American stuck abroad. 877-989-2255.
The ACLJ is moving aggressively, working to secure Pastor Saeed's freedom. The focus now turns global. With this conviction and sentence, it's critical that the world unite and stand up to speak out against this mockery of justice and demand that Iran free Pastor Saeed. Sign on to our petition to save Pastor Saeed from Iranian prison. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, ACLJ.org.
folks. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We've got extended interview coming up. Congressman John Fleming from Louisiana's 4th Congressional District on Pastor Saeed. What the U.S. can do. You know, there is more. We keep getting the question, and we're going to keep answering it. And we'll have other people answer it, too, who can give you a different perspective, so members of Congress. There is a lot more our government can do. It's not just because we don't have an embassy there that we can't do anything. We're the United States of America. Okay, you don't have to have an embassy somewhere to make an impact. We've gotten people out of North Korea who knew that if they got caught, they'd be certainly arrested. The Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, didn't not say anything because she was because we didn't have an embassy there. They let former President Clinton's plane land and bring him home. I mean, you don't have to be too good to ask for help. If you have to pose for a photo or whatever they had to do to get those two journalists home, we've smuggled out Chinese dissidents who were not even citizens and, risking our own diplomatic relationship with a superpower who has a lot of our debt. Again, we took that risk. Great. I'm willing to do that for freedom. Absolutely. Only, though, if we're going to do it for our own citizens. Because if not, then I don't want to put why are we putting our security at risk with China if we're not going to help an American stuck in Iran? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, they did everything we needed them to do for Yousef Nadarkhani, but they did more for him than so far in about a week than they've done in 6 months for Pastor Saeed. And I want to go to David French, senior counsel with the ACLJ, who's in the studio with us, and Than Bennett, who's here. And David, what we are seeing now, finally, there's been a media saturation. I talked about that with Nagme a couple of days ago, that it's gotten to the point where we're hearing it from different perspectives, and it's all criticism from former state officials, from people who have been stuck there, from senators, from members of Congress, saying it's criticism at this administration, saying there's a lot more that can be done. And we think, Senator Kerry, who's going to be Secretary Kerry on Monday, understands that.
Well, that's right. And Senator Kerry has already done more for mm-hmm. Pastor Saeed than our current Secretary of State did in weeks
Absolutely.
And weeks of this controversy. And this has been a unifying moment across the aisle for people because this is one of those few public controversies where there's no other side. There isn't a justification for what Pastor Saeed has been put through. His human rights have been violated through torture. His human rights have been violated by denying religious liberty. His human rights have been violated by denying him due process in his trial. There are not two sides to this story. There is one side, it's Pastor Saeed's side, and he is being subjected to a radical regime's tyranny because they fear any message contrary to their own. And that's why we're seeing some of the unity here at home, and we're hoping to see it abroad, and I believe we will eventually see it abroad.
Folks, and it's why you take a stand. You don't just say, it's America and it's Iran. I mean, there's so much to do, and we're making progress. We are. We did not think we could prevent a conviction. We wouldn't have talked about it if we didn't think there was a conviction coming. And a sentencing and prison and all of this. I mean, you don't go public with this unless you think that the worst will happen. And whether it's 8 years or death by hanging, you still wouldn't have given up. And you don't give up. And 8 years in Iran is basically death. It's not immediate. And the more you talk about him, the safer you're going to keep him. And I hope you will just take a stand with us now. I'm going to take a call real quick. Jack in Arizona, line one. Jack, we're running out of time in this segment, but you got about 30 seconds here. What's your question, Jack?
Yes, sir. I was just going to say, with all due respect to our current administration, they talk about wanting to help America. How are they going to help America if they can't help one person? How are they going to?
Well, it does. It makes you very concerned, Jack. I mean, I'm just cutting you off because we have about I got 20 seconds right here. Very concerned about what it's like for other Americans who maybe don't have the ACLJ speaking out on their behalf, at home, and can get to all these members of Congress. Think about that. What if you couldn't get to us? Call now and stand, because Pastor Saeed's family was able to. So let's make a point here. Let's make a statement. We've got senators, members of Congress, the incoming Secretary of State, the world ready to go. Media covering it. Call with us, 877-989-2255. And another example of that, Nagme and I were talking to former Governor Mike Huckabee on his radio broadcast yesterday. We're going to play some of that interview coming up. And Congressman John Fleming on what we can do, what the U.S. government can do to get Saeed home. Really, he gets technical. You need the information. You've been asking that question. 877-989-2255.
The worst-case scenario has occurred. Iran has convicted and sentenced American Pastor Saeed Abedini to 8 years in prison. simply because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed, a U.S. citizen, is facing many years of life-threatening torture and abuse in one of Iran's most dangerous and deadly prisons. Iran's actions violate its own constitution and violate multiple human rights treaties and laws. The ACLJ represents Pastor Saeed's wife and children who live in the U.S., and the ACLJ is moving aggressively, working to secure Pastor Saeed's freedom. The focus now turns global, urging the United Nations and the European Union to mobilize their resources. With his conviction and sentence, it's critical that the world unite and stand up to speak out against this mockery of justice and demand that Iran free Pastor Saeed. Sign on to our petition to save Pastor Saeed from Iranian prison. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on. A lot of great things happening. And a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. In this segment of the broadcast, we are going to play for you an interview that Jordan and Saeed's wife, Naghmeh, did with Governor Mike Huckabee yesterday on his broadcast. Again, this gets into more of the personal story that Naghmeh tells better than anyone, obviously. It's her story. It's her husband's story. So this is Jordan with Pastor Saeed's wife, Naghmeh, on yesterday with Governor Mike Huckabee.
I think all of us have been following very closely the very troubling situation in Iran involving an American pastor who has been jailed and just recently sentenced to 8 years in an Iranian prison. This is on the heels of his being in jail since September of last year, and it appears that the primary reason is that he's being accused of a level of insurrection because he was attempting to establish house churches, although a lot of that's in dispute. The State Department claims they are working to try to get this resolved, but no one is more interested in getting it resolved than is his wife, Naghmeh Abedini. She joins me now, along with Jordan Sekulow, who is the executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice, representing Naghmeh Abedini and their children who live here in the United States. Naghmeh, first of all, let me say thank you. I appreciate so much your joining us today. Our hearts go out to you because this has been, I'm sure, just a nightmare, worrying about your husband and wondering when he's going to be able to come home.
Yes, thank you for having me, Governor Huckabee. It has been very difficult, to say the least. And Sunday was or Monday morning we heard about it was a shock to our family that there was even a sentence given and that it was 8 years. My first thoughts were the kids, my 6-year-old especially, and also my 4-year-old, and what I would say to them, how I could even explain this to them.
Naghmeh, when is the last time you've been able to have a conversation with your husband?
It was January 9th, and it was for, I would say, even 3 minutes. And that's it. And I know there will be no more phone calls. What I've heard is that he won't be calling anymore.
Are you able to write?
So that was my last conversation with him.
Are you able to write letters? Can he send letters to you? Is there any other communication at all?
Nope. He's been able to, through different avenues, get some letters to me over the last few months, but it would be almost impossible to get any letters to him or communicate with him. And the only way I might be able to communicate is to give messages and tell his family and for them to, when they visit, to pass that message to him, but nothing direct.
Jordan Sekulow is the executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice, representing Naghmeh and her family. Jordan, what is the official charge that is the basis of his being given an eight-year sentence?
It's an unbelievable charge, Governor, because Iran in the past has tried to hide their persecution of Christians. Everyone knows about it, but they didn't like ever saying it, and they were kind of embarrassed when court documents would ever come out saying what they did. Here, they invited their own media in to hear the verdict. And the verdict and the conviction here was the intentional attempt to undermine the national security of Iran and the Iranian government by working with house churches from 2001 to 2005. He had been back 9 times to visit his family and to set up a non-sectarian orphanage because he made an agreement with the government. I'll stop that work if I can still come and see my family and still help the children in need there. He was getting final board sign-off from the Iranian government. He was not some dissident trying to make a scene, trying to make a political statement or a religious statement, and he is being treated like the top criminal of Iran. And imagine what it's like to be an American citizen, a convert from Islam, in that prison, in a prison where they beat and torture you and they pass out pain medication every day. So they won't give it to him, Governor, because he's unclean. He's the Muslim who became a Christian.
It's such an outrageous kind of treatment of anyone, but particularly an American citizen who's not convicted of stealing, not convicted of burglarizing a home or killing anybody, not even so much as running over someone's foot in a motorcycle, but because he apparently represents a point of view that they don't want to tolerate. I'm curious as to what kind of response you have from the State Department and from other U.S. government officials as to how much pressure they're putting, realizing we don't have official relations with Iran, but there's certainly third-party contacts that are capable. So what is happening from the U.S. government to try to get Nagmeh's husband back?
It took 6 months, basically. We started representing her and the family here in the United States 2 days after he was arrested and put under house arrest back in July. It took 6 months, and after his trial Monday, it took until Friday, this past Friday, to even get a statement calling for his release. A statement. The first time Nagmeh called the State Department to tell them what happened and to ask for some help, their response, I mean, I can let her say it, Nagmeh, maybe you want to say this one. It is unbelievable to think as a U.S. citizen and you're going through this trauma and you're calling on your government and you're just looking for help. We don't think the U.S. government, by the way, Governor, can snap their fingers, but exactly what you said. They could certainly call some allies who we've waived from sanctions and things like that who do business with Iran who honestly would probably do it for us in a heartbeat. But you got to ask them. And Nagmeh, you could tell – you call into the State Department, tell the governor and his audience what they told you. Your husband's just been arrested and you're trying to do something. It was unbelievable.
Yes. The initial calls and when they would not let him leave the country and also when he was the house he was staying at was raided and he was taken was that there was nothing they could do that to keep them updated. And Iran doesn't recognize his citizenship. They have stepped up their actions since the media in December 19th. And its site has not broken any law. Anything they're mentioning about his case dates back to around 2000 to 2005 when the old president, Khatami, was president, and a lot of these were not even illegal. And it dates back to years, around the year of his conversion and the early years. And Iran's the one who's violating his human rights of religious freedom and violating their own commitment. On paper, they say that they've made commitments to allow religious freedom, but unfortunately, they're the ones who are breaking that commitment internationally and domestically in Iran, and they're the ones who are breaking the law, and they need to be accountable to that. Saeed has not broken any law. He was there for an orphanage they allowed, and for them to change their policy, and they've become fearful of Christianity in Iran. It's become to them a national threat to their national security just because they've changed their policy on how they treat Christians. Saeed has been arrested, and they're the ones who are violating and breaking their commitments. And I'm just praying and hoping and in Jesus that I know he's the one who will ultimately get him out, and that I'm hoping that our government will also step in and ask demand Iran to release him for violating his human rights and a violation of human rights.
I'm visiting with Naghma Abedini, who is the wife of jailed pastor Saeed Abedini. He's being held in Iran, has been since September, just sentenced to 8 years in prison, essentially for being a Christian. We also have Jordan Sekulo, who is the executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice. Naghma, both to you and Jordan, has there been any communication at all from the White House? I want to affirm you and your husband, Saeed, are American citizens, and you're being treated in this way, and your husband specifically being jailed for his faith, not for a crime that anybody can recognize, not for anything that in any international court would be considered a criminal activity.
Exactly.
What, if any, communication have you had with White House officials?
I think Jordan can explain this more.
You know, Governor, I am almost, it's upsetting to me that it has to be Jay Carney, the White House press secretary, who finally steps up, because the State Department does these ridiculous statements. For instance, they released a statement to Fox News on Sunday after the conviction, Governor, and it actually wasn't a statement. So we followed up with the State Department, said, hey, can we get the full, we want to make sure this was correct, because we're the attorneys here, we're putting it all together, and we're going to the UN, and we're going to these places. They never emailed us the text. They said that was just a response, that's not actually a statement. So I went on Fox News the next day with Naghma and just said, you know, this is how they're dragging their feet. They will spend days and days, and all we're saying is, I thought you made a statement. Why aren't you? You won't even tell us what it is. You'll tell a reporter, but not us. And so the White House should not be having to take the lead. But if Jay Carney is the one that's having to come out and to get the State Department to do it, it tells you about the culture there.
Naghma, know that we pray for you and support you and hope that you will soon have Saeed home with you.
Thank you, Governor.
Well, you're most welcome. Naghma Abedini, whose husband is in Iran. Also joining us, Jordan Sekulo from the American Center for Law and Justice. Our gratitude for them being with us.
There you have it, folks. That was Jordan and Pastor Saeed's wife, Naghma, on yesterday with Governor Mike Huckabee, telling their personal story, the story of their family, and how this has been a struggle for them. As Jordan talked about in the first half of this broadcast, we've got an opportunity for a reset button at the State Department with the new incoming Secretary Kerry's strong statement calling for Pastor Saeed's release. Now is the time to stand with us and engage the international community. Call now, 877-989-2255. We'll be back after this.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. The worst-case scenario has occurred. Iran has convicted and sentenced American pastor Saeed Abedini to 8 years in prison simply because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed, a U.S. citizen, is facing many years of life-threatening torture and abuse in one of Iran's most dangerous and deadly prisons. Iran's actions violate its own constitution and violate multiple human rights treaties and laws. The ACLJ represents Pastor Saeed's wife and children who live in the U.S., and the ACLJ is moving aggressively, working to secure Pastor Saeed's freedom. The focus now turns global, urging the United Nations and the European Union to mobilize their resources. With this conviction and sentence, it's critical that the world unite and stand up to speak out against this mockery of justice and demand that Iran free Pastor Saeed. Sign on to our petition to save Pastor Saeed from Iranian prison. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Yeah.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, folks. We have a special guest joining us, Congressman John Fleming from Louisiana's 4th Congressional District. Congressman Fleming has been a great ally of ours in the House of Representatives. He's a medical doctor, an MD, was voted actually 2007 Family Doctor of the Year in Louisiana. It's great to have people like that who decided, let's come to Washington, D.C. So we're talking about health care laws. We're talking about mental health, things like this. All of these debates we have, it's good to have people who aren't just lifelong politicians. People who bring real experience to the table. He signed all of our briefs, and I just want to tell you how good of a friend he is on Obamacare and the HHS mandate, which is still being fought right now in federal courts and making its way towards the Supreme Court. And when we needed Congress to step up for Pastor Saeed, Congressman Fleming was there for us. And Congressman, great to have you on the show.
Well, Jordan, thanks for having me. And again, thank you for all the work ACLJ is doing. We need outside groups, outside meaning outside of Congress, to really be the tip of the spear for the great work that you're doing. We thank you for that.
Congressman, let me ask you about Pastor Saeed. Here we have an American citizen, and we know in the past the State Department speaks out for those who aren't even American citizens who are facing this kind of persecution only because of their faith, and they've done that before for us. This time it seemed like it took a lot more work, and in fact, it was the incoming Secretary of State, not the current Secretary of State, who issued a statement calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. I hope John Kerry continues that and brings that message to his new staff next week when he, I think his first day on the job is Monday. He swears in Friday. But Congress spoke out, and we started to get movement, and I have to thank you for that. But it took that kind of action, and I'm not sure that the State Department should be any less responsive than Congress to the people. I mean, that's what their job is.
Well, I quite agree. But for the media and for Congress, as you point out, you would hardly even know that this travesty was occurring. A man who is a Christian in Iran, and Iran, as you know, has been part of the world community, at least on paper, when it comes to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Even in their own system of law, they do provide for freedom of religion. And yet, as a Christian, he's been isolated there. He's been imprisoned. He's even been tortured. And then his lawyer was told that he was about to be released. And in fact, he was sentenced to 8 years imprisonment in one of the worst prisons, and his lawyer was not even present for that. So it's obvious that a lot of malicious activity is happening with this gentleman, Pastor Saeed, and the United States, even though we don't have direct relations with Iran, there's a lot we can do on the world stage. We can communicate with through the UN, through the EU, through really messaging around the world, human rights. But it seems that if you're a Christian, that we don't stand up for people when it comes to human rights.
You know, Congressman, we're talking to Congressman John Fleming. It's interesting because I think about the situations. We've worked with the State Department on a pastor, Pastor Yousef Nadarkhani. He was an American. And they spoke out much more aggressively, much quicker. And we've been working with them since July when Pastor Abedini was arrested by the Revolutionary Guard and put under house arrest until then he was transferred to prison in September. We finally had to come out, like you said, to the media, to Congress, and that's risky. It's risky because it puts his name out there and his face out there. But at that point, you know that there's going to be a conviction. They don't put you in jail that long and put you in the Revolutionary Court. For that. But North Korea, we don't have those kind of relationships either. And Secretary Clinton and then her husband, former President Clinton, was flying there to pick up journalists who knew that they were going to probably get in trouble if they were caught. I don't have a problem with helping them. I think we should absolutely do that, but we could apply the same standard to everybody. We've smuggled out Chinese dissidents. Certainly, that's a sensitive relationship and caused somewhat of a diplomatic crisis. Again, I could support that if we can do the same for an American citizen. I mean, take away the fact that he's a Christian, take away the fact that his name is Saeed. He's got the same citizenship rights as you and I, and I don't know if it's because it's the politics of his church or the color of his skin or his name, but there's something that doesn't translate. And, you know, when his wife called Congressman, the first thing they told her was, we can't do anything for you. Now, like you just said, they can't go out, and they're not going to call for a public meeting with the Ayatollah. but we've got plenty of friends. You voted, you know, the sanctions, issues like that. And there are waivers in there with some of our allies, people that would probably definitely be willing to pick up the phone if they knew it was the right thing to do. You know, they've got to hear from the U.S. government that they're not going to be causing a trouble by helping him get out.
Well, the world looks to the United States and specifically the President of the United States for leadership on these issues. So if our president is not going to be engaged in protecting the rights of an American citizen in Iran, a Christian, well, then why should the rest of the world be engaged? That's the way the world views things. We have a president that gets all out of sorts when a terrorist doesn't get absolutely every constitutional right, it seems, possible. And yet when you have an American citizen that's in a terrorist country, he's hardly mentioned, and certainly very little pressure, if any. In this case, virtually none. Pressure has been applied to Iran. And Iran, even though we don't have diplomatic relations, Iran is subject to sanctions, as you know, and we can always change that. Their view on the world stage, what the rest of the world thinks of Iran, is very important to them. So there are many different pressure points we can apply in this debate. And again, I just have to ask, where is the presidential leadership to stand up for one of our own citizens in a foreign nation?
Absolutely right. Congressman Fleming, we know this, that while we were working with that State Department, trying to get this done privately, honestly, because it's safer for everyone involved. But when you get to that final stage about 6 weeks ago, we had to speak out. When we asked Congress to get our government involved, it did lead to statements. It did lead to condemnations. And now we've got the incoming Secretary of State saying exactly what Congress had asked Secretary Clinton to do. Her spokespeople did. And I know that if we need you again to remind the incoming Secretary of State what he told those senators in Congress, that he would condemn this and call on Iran to release, that he'll do that on Monday and next week as well when he is Secretary of State. Congressman John Fleming from Louisiana's 4th Congressional District, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jordan. I look forward to speaking with you again.
Again, that was Dr. John Fleming, congressman from Louisiana, on with Jordan just a few moments before live air. And folks, I want to sort of reiterate something that Dr. Fleming and Jordan talked about in that interview. Of course, Dr. Fleming talked about his engagement for Pastor Saeed, the importance of all of you lending your voice to encourage Congress to act. But you heard them talk about how this is a pivotal week on this case, how Secretary Clinton, in his confirmation hearing, in a written response to Senator Rubio, went further than Secretary Clinton has been willing to go in the several months leading up to this point, where he specifically called for Saeed's release. It was a direct call. It was a personal call. So when the Secretary takes over on Monday, folks, we are going to be asking that the actions of the State Department back up the words of their new Secretary. Of course, Secretary Kerry is going to be in charge. He's going to have to answer to the President. But ultimately, the actions of the State Department will be directed by the new Secretary, John Kerry. We're going to make sure that those actions line up with the words that he gave to Senator Rubio at his hearing. So again, thanks to Dr. John Fleming for joining Jordan just a few moments before live air. But folks, join with us in this effort. So many of you had more than 250,000 signed the petition asking the U.S. government to engage. So many of you have joined this international petition. If you have not done so, today's the day to do it. Call now, 877-989-2255. You can always sign your name at aclj.org as well. But call now, 877-989-2255.
The ACLJ is moving aggressively, working to secure Pastor Saeed's freedom. The focus now turns global. With this conviction and sentence, it's critical that the world unite and stand up to speak out against this mockery of justice and demand that Iran free Pastor Saeed. Sign on to our petition to save Pastor Saeed from Iranian prison. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.